Your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah the 14th chapter. Your Schofield Bible, page 726. We'll be reading just four verses, beginning with the 12th verse. We'll read through verse 15. We'll read these four verses responsively, however. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, page 726. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And let's pray. And Father, we get to think about heaven again this evening. We thank you for that place you've prepared for those who prepare to meet thee through thy Son Jesus, acceptance of him as Savior. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for its emphasis, and especially in reaching lost people. We pray that you'd bless now in this service and help it to be productive. Help, we pray, that folks will listen intently. Thank you for this place. It's precious to us. Thank you for our preacher. How we thank you for a true and great man of God. Thank you for our opportunity. Help us to make use of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight. Another sermon. This is, I think, the fourth in our series on heaven. It's very unusual for me to preach a series of sermons. I don't know how many decades it's been since I preached a series of sermons on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. But I felt definitely that I ought to this summer. So I will be continuing to preach on heaven throughout the summer and the evening service. Tonight I want to speak on the location and the size of heaven. Of course, you understand there'll be some overlapping and some repetition. But tonight I want to talk to you on the location and the size of heaven. Our Heavenly Father, it'll just be a little while before all of us have left this planet. I mean, it's just a matter of a few days for some of us, and a few years at the most for each of us. And compared to eternity, it's just a little spot on history. But thank you that there's something better than this. May we rejoice in, prepare for that better place. Bless this service tonight as we think about heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. These are words by the psalmist David, who was examining the skies at night, realizing his littleness compared to the great creation of Almighty God. He was looking to the sky and realizing that somewhere above where he could see, there was heaven. I want to call your attention to that one little line where he said, who has set thy glory above the heavens. That means that the glory of God, that's the throne of God, the presence of God, is above the universe. As I said last night, and as I'll read in another scripture in just a few moments, heaven is up and it's above the universe. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. It's an amazing verse when you consider the verse that follows. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. That word glory and that verse likens God to a great performer. The performer comes out and his platform is set up and the platform is on the earth. But his performance is too big just for the earth, and so they have to dismantle the platform and make it bigger. And so they put that platform in the heavens. And that platform crosses the sky and covers the heavens. But this performer is too big for that even, our God being the performer. His performance cannot be limited to just the heavens. And so he dismantles that platform and builds his platform above the heavens. And then the next verse is so beautiful. Get this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And the next verse says, but out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. God is saying here that he's such a powerful God, the earth is not big enough for his platform, and the heavens are not big enough for his platform. And God has to set his platform above the heavens, and yet he hears the cry of the little baby in the nursery tonight. The little baby that has the diaper pin stuck in his little flesh tonight. I got out of that one pretty quick, didn't I? I love it when you listen, but you listen to the wrong thing. Just like I do when Brother Tom prays. But I want you to notice this. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Heaven is above the universe. Above the highest star even unseen by man's eye. Let me read for you what I read a while ago, and you need not turn to it. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is the rebellion that Lucifer had against God when he rounded up his one-third of angelic angels, the angels in heaven, and rebelled against God. Lucifer said, I'll exalt myself. And look what he said. Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, that's the earth, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now get this, next line. Where is heaven? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Same thing that David said in Psalm 8. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. And now Lucifer said, I'll take over heaven. I've fallen from heaven, but I'll take over heaven. And I'll exalt my throne. I'll take over God's throne. And it's in the heavens. It's above the stars. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. We learned last week that God lives in the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Psalm 75 and verse 6 tells us that heaven is in the northern part of the universe. Psalm 8 says it's above the universe. Isaiah 14 says it's above the stars. Heaven is located in the northern part of the universe, above the stars, if you please. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12 calls this the third heaven. First the atmosphere, then the universe, and then there's the third heaven. So heaven is above the stars. Now listen carefully to me for a few minutes. Think of it. The sun is 93 million miles from the earth. At 60 miles an hour, you could get there in 177 years. You can put over 1 million, get this, over 1 million Earths inside the sun. And have room for 5 million moons there also. And heaven is above the sun. No wonder, but if David knew what we knew now, he would have had a spell. He just looked up and said, I wonder how far it is up there. It's probably 4 or 5 miles. And he said, when I consider that may be 4 or 5 miles away, my soul, well, what am I? When I consider that the sun is 93 million miles from the earth and it's 60 miles an hour, it'd take 177 years to get there. Or one of these truck drivers over here, it'd take about 50 years to get there. But if David knew that, then David could say, when I consider the heavens and realize the distance of the and the immensity of the sun, that in the sun 1 million earths could be placed, and in the sun 5 million moons beside the 1 million earth. And it looks like to me that we ought to exalt him more than David did. And yet some of the stars are 5 times as big as the sun. And God said, heavens above the stars. Venus is 128 million miles away. It orbits the sun every 224 days. It's on the other side of the sun. When it is, it's nearly 200 million miles away. That means my mama is more than 200 million miles from here right now. And yet she made the trip just like that. David said, when I consider thy heavens, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I want to give you tonight a little idea how little we really are and how big our God really is. Mars is 150 million miles from Earth. That's where they make the candy bars. Jupiter travels 47 miles a second. At 50 miles per hour, it'd take 900 years to get there. It is 75 times the size of the earth. And heaven is above the stars. Saturn is 790 million miles from the earth. Uranus is 1,800 million miles from the earth. And my mama is above that star tonight. Neptune is 2,780 million miles. I don't know who measured it, but that's what it says here. Yeah, give or take a few miles, of course. Since they've got the interstates, it's a little closer now. If you went to Neptune, now get this, at 100 miles an hour, it'd take you 3,000 years to get there. And heaven is above Neptune. When I consider thy heavens, work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And by the way, all this universe, God made it, and there are a heap of stars between here and there. Innumerable. And our God, I said our God, our great omnipotent God, is the creator of all of it. And you put yourself against His will and you have your own instead of His. And you think your mind can decide what you need, a God that can make a universe so marvelous. And you think you're smarter than He is. And some little nitwit professor hadn't got a brain as big as a flea. And he sits his hands up and says that there's no God and that we evolved from being a monkey. He's the biggest proof of it I know of. That isn't all. Alpha Centauri is 250,000 times farther than the sun. It is 23 trillion. Doesn't make any difference. If it gets over 100, I can't figure it out anyhow. It is 23 trillion 250 billion miles. 23 trillion. The North Star is 14 times as far away as that. That means the North Star is 322 trillion miles away. And heaven is above that. At 100 miles an hour, it'd take 409 million years for you to get to the North Star. And yet there are stars 1,000 times, get this, 1,000 times farther than the North Star. The light that you see, when you look at the North Star tonight, And you can't hear this up north. Beyond the Sut. Beyond the Sut set. Beyond the Sut. On a clear night, when you're down south, you can see the North Star. The light that you see in the North Star left there 200 years ago. What a God. What a God. A trip to the North Star at 10 cents a mile. I don't think you can get that cheap unless you stay over a Saturday. A trip to the North Star at 10 cents a mile would cost you $32 trillion. And if you've got that kind, please tithe. This entire system is flying ahead at 10 miles per tick of the clock. And since we walked in here a while ago, this whole mess, we've all been traveling at 400 miles an hour. Hang on to your seats. We're moving, boy. We're moving. Boy, it's like that fellow said, I heard a black man tell this story. A black man went down to the New Orleans airport and said, what time? You have an airplane for Los Angeles from New Orleans? And they said, yes, we do. Said, when do it leave New Orleans? He said, 2:02. What time do it arrive in Los Angeles? He said, 2:02. He said, now, let's get this straight now, man. This plane leaves New Orleans at 2:02 and arrives at Los Angeles at 2:02. That's right. You want a ticket? No, sir. I just want to stand around and watch that big rascal take off. Man alive. Think about it. I mean, thank God for gravity. Boy, you better hope it holds out or we're going to fall off this ship we're on. I'm talking about 400 to 500 miles an hour, all this mighty universe. David looked up and said, wow, what I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mind? Hey, I'm one little speck. Bill Burr's a big speck. Keith's a huge speck. But even Keith, compared my universe, I'm just one little spot of dust. And God, I think I'm about to shout, God, the creator of all in our universe I've been talking about, He is mindful of me. He thinks about me. He knows me. He loves me. David said, I don't understand it. What, and yet, good night, if David couldn't understand it, think about how we ought to feel. And if David felt the mighty, pulsating, deep, marvelous love of God, he said, when I consider thy heaven, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And then he said, the son of man that thou visitest him. What does that mean? What is man? Not only that God, the great creator of this mighty universe, that God, He knows me, He loves me, He thinks about me, but He comes and fellowships with me. And yet, Psalm 8 says His glory is above the heavens. Isaiah 14 says He lives above the stars. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the third heaven. And yet He hears the cry of the baby in the nursery, charts the flight of every bird in the sky, follows the path of every fish in the sea. That light that travels 192,000 miles a second I can go the light can go from the moon to the earth in 1.25 seconds. I mean, the moon. The thing that your wife looks at and begs you to hug her. That's funny. The moon. A ray of light. The light that you just see from the moon tonight can get here in 1.25 seconds. The light of the North Star takes 200 years to get here. And the God that made the moon and Uranus and Jupiter and Pluto and Mars and all the mighty universe, and not only that, He keeps everyone going at just the right speed. I mean, boy, he spoke one day and created all this mighty universe, and every little old planet up there is going around the sun just on schedule. It always arrives just on time and always stays on schedule. And God is the person who holds every planet, the millions of planets. He holds them in His hand and keeps them orbiting the sun just exactly right to keep the whole universe from crumbling. And that God loves me. He's mindful of me, said David. But David didn't know the half of it. He thought the moon was a piece of cheese up in the sky to cut up and put between crackers. In those days, some of the folks, David didn't. They thought the earth was flat. You went too far, you'd fall off. I mean, I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, our God deserves more praise than we give Him. Turn this up some. Amen. Turn this up some. Our God deserves more praise. We ought to spend our lives honoring Him, magnifying Him, and glorifying Him. That great, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Creator and Sustainer of the universe, David said, He's thinking about me. I'm on His mind. Where is He? He's farther than the North Star. He's farther than billions of miles. And I did a little figuring this afternoon. There's stars up there that are quadrillions of miles. You know how much a quadrillion is? I don't either. But it's farther than Chicago. You sorry little rebel. Little piece of dust. And in spite of this, some little puny, pugnacious, pygmacious, presumptuous, pussyfooting, pouting, pusillanimous, peonies, pilfering, proud, penury, punk of a professor, in a place of professed prolific prophecy, puts his peddling above the power of the omnipotent God. He said, I'm a science teacher in public school. No, you're not. You're a little piece of dust that thinks you're greater than the Creator of the mighty universe. You can't afford to fly to Omaha. And God lives multiplied billions and trillions and quadrillions of miles in the sky and made everything between here and there. And you put yourself up before Him. Oh, you little college professor haven't got enough sense to even know that you haven't got any sense. But I got enough sense to know you haven't got any sense. Somewhere up there, above it all, is my mama. Living in a pretty little town of just 1,500 miles cubed, the silk stocking lane of the universe. And she got there in one breath. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And some little clump of dust stands behind the pulpit
and says that God hadn't got enough power to preserve his word. Is there room for all of us? They ask. If everybody who ever lived went to heaven, a mansion as long and as wide and as high as a football field could be built for every one of us. And the Bible says, narrow is the gate and few there be that go through it. Crowded, my mother has the universe as her front yard and can take an hour off and visit 1,000 Jupiters. I'll show you something. Let me have that chair there. And God said, earth is just my footstool. Pretty big God. It's quite, well, this is the best place to preach. I've been at a long time. Yeah, now I know why Jorgensen sleeps over here. That means that you think you're something. You're just a little greasy spot on God's footstool. What do you call that thing? Hassock? Yeah. I mean, this earth, with its Niagara Falls, with its Rocky Mountains, with its Palm Beach, with its Honolulu, with its Smoky Mountains. I can't think of any mountains at all. Smoky Mountains. This earth with its beauty and magnificence, God compares it with the hassock in your house. He didn't say this earth is my sofa. He said it's my footstool. When I sit back here and relax, I put my feet on the earth. He must be pretty big. That's what it is. You can have your seat back now. And the Bible says heaven is above the universe. My mama's already visited the moon several times. She spent weekends on the sun, vacationed on the North Star, got back in time for bed. If they go to bed up there. They don't go to bed, but they do lay back and relax because they got footstools all over the universe. I may just have one of the stars for my footstool when I get up there. Praise God. I'm trying to tell you tonight what a powerful God we have. No wonder God called the earth his footstool. And yet for me, this God, when he saw me, a sinner, made a plan so I could go to there and live forever. He came to earth in form of man for me. He lived and suffered for me. He was despised and rejected of men for me. He was forsaken by his own, expelled from his own city, kicked out of his own synagogue, hated by his own race, crucified by his own creatures for me. He suffered the torments of hell for me. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails for me. I'm talking about the same mighty, powerful, omnipotent God that made this universe we talked about a while ago for me. You say, Brother Hounds, is there enough room in that little place up there, 1,500 miles cubed? Let me give you an idea. Ancient Alexandria was 30 furlongs. Babylon was 120 furlongs. London is 325 furlongs. New York City is 400 furlongs. And heaven is 1,500 miles. Multiply 8 times 1,500 and you get how... And by the way, what does that mean? That means that there's 144 million cubic furlongs in heaven. That means that there's 1,250,000 cubic miles in heaven. And some little clump of dust stands up and says, there's no God. It's an old story. You've heard it and I've told it, but you're going to hear it again. Over there, Chicago, there's a place called Pershing Square. Years ago, especially, it was a place where anybody could say what he wanted to say. Now, then, that's on television. It's called television now. But they had what they call free speech, and they had a little pulpit kind of thing, or the lectern kind of thing, where anybody could stand up and say what he wanted to say. Many years ago, a fellow stood up behind that lectern and said, "There's no God. There's no God. I dare anybody in this room to prove to me there's a God." He said, "God, I'll prove that you're not there. If you're there, strike me dead. Right now, strike me dead." Boy, you better thank God I'm not God. And of course, God didn't strike him dead. He said, "Okay, if God were alive, I just told him to strike me dead. He didn't strike me dead. There's no God. Stand up and prove it." And one Moody Bible Institute student was in that crowd. He walked up behind that lectern and he said, "Sir, as I was walking down here tonight to this place or today, I passed by an alley. A little boy, dirty and filthy, shaggy hair, ragged clothes, jumped out, doubled up his fist and said, 'Come on, fella, let's fight. Come on, I dare you to fight. You're a coward. You're scared to fight.'" He said, "Sir, do you think I wanted to hit that little boy?" He said, "My heart was overcome with compassion for that boy." He said, "What I wanted to do was take him down and give him a bath and buy him some new clothes and new shoes and cut his hair and wash his face." He said, "God doesn't want to kill you tonight. God loves you. And God wants you to come to Him, and He wants to save you and forgive your sins and clean you up and take you to heaven when you die." "Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." No wonder David gazed to the skies and quoted it. And yet, we pit our wisdom against the God who made the universe. We make our own decisions over His. I said this morning, I said again tonight, when you decide what's best for you and go against this book, you are saying the same thing that atheist said over there in Pershing Square. What you're saying is, there is no God smarter than I am. I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. I know what you don't know what's best for you. What you better do is get that old eternal preserved book and read that book and study that book and get your instructions and follow those instructions ounce for ounce and inch for inch. God, the omnipotent God, He knows what's best for you. We place our will above His. And we somehow live for this one little speck in the universe. The choir sang it a while ago. I've got to mention. The choir, you mistook it a little bit. It's farther than just over the hilltop. It's over the North Star top. I've got a mansion just over the universe top, that bright land where we'll never grow old. Beyond the stars. His glory above the stars. Brother, and that little lady that's been a receptionist out at Hammond Baptist Grade School for over 20 years. And all of a sudden the pain pierced her heart and she dropped over dead. Let me tell you something. Before she hit the floor, she had already passed the moon and the sun
and Jupiter and Uranus and the North Star, and already had been checked into her mansion in heaven before she hit the floor. Praise God for heaven. Three cheers for heaven. Praise God for heaven, and praise God for the God who's so powerful. It takes 200 years for the North Star's light to get here. It doesn't take the blink of an eye for us to get there. We pass the light from the North Star and wave at it. I just hope when I die, hope my mama's not visiting Jupiter. I want her to be home when I get there. I just hope Dr. Rice is not busy down there on the moon. You mission men will be down there making some moonshine. Used to have a cat over at the mission and named him Wino. Thank God tonight for my God. Thank God for His omnipotence, and no wonder David said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name on the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy hands, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? David's hearing my sermon right now. He's shouting more than he did then. Because David knows the immensity of the universe and the power and omnipotence of our great God who made the universe. And somewhere up there beyond it all, there's the throne of God and the glory of God and Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. And there's the mercy seat, maybe and probably the same one that was in the tabernacle at the temple. And there's the same blood on that mercy seat that Jesus shed 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Well, I think I'll just sort of live over there instead of here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Well, the angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Praise God for heaven. I think I'll just try to get everybody I can to go with me on the journey. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight You'd bless our people and help us to realize that we're just here a while, a little while. Just, whew. Life is like a...